mighty town. Reaching high, filled with love and power.
Hallelujah.
Solid it stands, eternally. God's salvation name for you and me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Wonderful name, Jesus. Jesus is more than just a name. King of kings, of thee I sing. Faith in this name gave me victory.
Thank you, Jesus.
Through endless days, I shall be praising Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord, I thank you today because you're my everything. My everything. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to look at Luke, the 14th chapter. You want to stand for a moment? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. 13th chapter of the 14th chapter of Luke. 14th chapter of Luke, verse 28. For which of you, intending to build a tower, setteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, This man began to build, and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king setteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage, and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. You may be seated. The language of the Lord sometimes is a little strong and straight to the point for some of us, because it sounds like it's an extreme. I mean, when you listen to what I just read, it says, give up everything and follow Jesus. That does sound extreme, doesn't it? Forsake everything and follow Jesus. When we consider those words of instruction from Jesus Christ Himself, and then we look at what that involves, and He says, if you don't do it, you can't be my disciple. In other words, you can't be one of those that becomes a servant of mine, disciplined to follow me correctly. Amen. If you're not able to give up everything. And he gets really strong even before that. He says you got to be willing to give up father, mother. Amen. He said it like this: if any man come after me and hate not his father and mother and wife. Now, it sounds kind of extreme, doesn't it? Sounds like he's saying you need to hate your daddy, hate your mama, hate your wife. A lot of people wouldn't have any trouble with that third one I just mentioned. In other places, not here, of course. And the wording there, if you study it out a little bit, that word hate there, it's simply meaning the same thing as he's teaching later down. You need to be willing to forsake, no matter what the cost. If they don't want to go with you, do it anyhow. And that's what the lesson is here, is to be willing to go all the way with Jesus. Because Jesus knows where He's going. Let me read another scripture and I'll come back, because I'm talking about planning ahead. I'm talking about planning ahead. I want to go to the book of 1 Corinthians. Amen. Hallelujah. In the book of 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, verse 9 says, For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And so, Paul here to the church at Corinth is reminding them of the true, firm, sure foundation to the followers of Jesus Christ. And that he got his information that he is giving to the church from the one that is worth giving up all to follow. The wise master builder he's referring to is not himself. It's the one that he represents. Amen. The Word of God sometimes is difficult for some people. As somebody mentioned earlier today, a about the man last night. I heard him as I was trying to catnap a little bit. I mean, sometimes we have to close our eyes for a moment. It seems like all the action starts at 3 o'clock in the morning here. Amen. But I was listening from a distance, and I heard him saying, I've read the Bible for all these years. It's just a copyrighted book. And, you know, it's amazing somebody can study the Bible and not find the Word of God. Amen. His reasoning, as I listened to him, is like a lot of people today. They're not able somehow, either they choose or they have a disability that comes as a result of something that's happened in their lives. Could be that they've rejected truth so much that God is letting them just go ahead and believe a lie. Believe their own lies. Something is wrong with an individual that can read the Word of God or read the Bible for years and still come to the conclusion there's just nothing there to build upon. Something's wrong with that.
Yes, amen.
That's like going to school and having the school teacher to teach you the fundamentals of learning, whatever it is that you're going to be learning more about. When they start teaching you the ABCs or just to count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that's not the end of it all. That's leading somewhere. There are plans for you later to be able to use these numbers and to use these letters to form words and to be able to eventually be able to read and to be able to write and with numbers be able to figure and advance. When you first go to school, you may jump to the conclusion, there's nothing here for me. And that's the way a lot of people look at the Word of God. They look at the Word of God, and the first thing we've got to get a hold of is the foundation. And if we don't have something to build upon, there's no information really available that you would comprehend.
Amen.
We can talk about any part of the Word of God, but if you don't have that something to stand on that is necessary in the beginning of your relationship with God, if you don't have that, all the figuring and all the trying to reason it out, it just goes nowhere, because you can't build without the foundation. You can't go forward without the proper information that will take you to those forward points. Amen. It's like trying to build a house from the roof down. It just won't work. You can have all the materials. You can have it all laid out in your yard. You can have all the lumber. You can have everything. But you're going to have to start with the foundation. And if you put all your materials on top of where you're going to lay the foundation, you're going to have to move it off of there and still have the foundation first. There are a lot of people putting all the material out there and they still don't have that solid rock foundation. Amen. The wise master builder, Jesus Christ and His apostles, gave us the truth. Amen. Amen. Let's pray for praises to our Lord. It says, or is that her name? Wilma says, I need prayer, please. Wilma, a friend of mine, has bronchitis, walking pneumonia. I have her on the phone right now. May I ask that you can pray? Lord Jesus, touch Wilma right now. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, let this prayer go through the internet lines, through the phone lines, right into her life. Touch her. Touch her right now. Make her better in Jesus' name. Amen. For the glory of God. Amen. Amen. The Word of God that says, leave all to follow me. Strong. Follow me if it means going against the wishes of mom, dad, wife, husband, children. Follow me. God is not promoting disunity in the family. But he's wise enough and knows that there is nothing there for your family to look forward to without Jesus. Hallelujah. Because he's a wise master builder. Amen. There's a battery over here charged up in the floor, Brother Danny. Get it instead. Amen. And then have that one after it. Amen. It's on that little charger there. On the charger under the piano. Glory. Amen. Y'all won't miss much if you don't see me for a second, will you? Glad you're there. Glad you're there. Amen. Hallelujah. What was I just saying? Wise master builder. Family. There you go. He's not trying to disrupt families. That's not God's goal and purpose to cause wives and husbands not to get along with each other. He's not teaching a lesson here that children should be rebellious or turn against their parents. That's not the lesson. And some people can read these words of Jesus here, the wise master builder, the lessons concerning the foundation and what he requires, and it seems to the carnal thinking mind that it's not consistent with other lessons that are taught. Love your parents, children. And then here he says, if you don't hate your daddy, you're not going to make it. So it's like, what? And so at a glance, a person who doesn't have proper understanding of the Word of God, or at least enough desire to know the Word of God to look into it, they cut themselves off by their own reasoning sometimes. Just like somebody out trying to build a house, and you've got laborers out there, and then you have like a foreman, or you have the contractor, or you have the one that knows how to read the blueprints and is in charge of seeing that everything is done just right. But you may be out there as somebody that just has a job, and you may not understand the blueprint, and you may not know what's planning, what all is being planned, but your part in it is do what you're told to do. And it may not make a bit of sense. What you're supposed to do is take these boards and cut them just at this dimension. Take these nails. Take this part that is assigned to you and do as you're told. And if the question starts coming back, but what good will that do? It doesn't make any sense. Well, if you were on a job and that didn't make any sense to you, you may get fired if you make a big deal out of it. Because it doesn't have to make any sense for it to still be right. Hallelujah. It doesn't have to make sense to you because you don't have to know everything. It's on the blueprint. You don't have to know where we're going with this building. You don't have to know what all is going to be involved in making sure that the third floor has proper chandeliers. Your part is to cut those boards and to put them in the proper place and do as you're told. There are other things involved here. And so, rather than go into a long lesson about how Jesus loves everybody and wants you to love everybody, and follow Jesus and be willing to give up everything, and rather than going into all the details of how this is proper and this is the Word of God that is consistent, he just comes out real strong, gives you the bottom line. Turn from anything, including your parents and your kids and all your loved ones. Turn to Jesus with all your heart, and that is your answer. And you come back, but why? I don't understand. You don't have to understand it. Do it. He's the boss. And he knows where he's going with this thing when we don't. But if we don't do our little part that is assigned to us to do, we'll never get there. The building will get there, but we'll never get there. Hallelujah. Amen. He's the wise master builder. Glory to God. He knows where he's going with this. We've got to be willing to give up all and follow him. And when we start trying to reason this out, why do I have to do that? Why do I have to do that? Well, the truth of the matter is, you don't have it all for keeps. But you are here. I am here. But whatever I have and whatever I accumulate in life, sooner or later I'm going to have to turn loose of it anyhow. So why not just go ahead and do it now? And what Jesus doesn't necessarily enlighten us all on the first time we start looking to Him, later it starts dawning on us some of these things that God knows. I mean, He shares with His friends and His loved ones many of the plans that are yet being revealed. He shares them with us as we go along. But at first, it's just, look, you got some things to do. Give up everything, follow Jesus. That comes in learning how to trust God. If we really believe there is a God, if we really believe that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, then we should be able to trust Him enough to go ahead and do what He says do. And when we do that, it's an act of faith. It's an act of obedience. It's an act of love toward God. When we do it, then we'll understand it better by and by. And it may not all just have to wait till you get to heaven. You can understand a lot of things now. A lot of things that are preached and taught and testified about suddenly open up to those who are willing and obedient to the one who knows where He's going and what the plans are. But if we balk at any point in coming to God and we say, I can't go all the way, this is where I draw the line, then you will stay there and the building will continue to be built, but you will not have your part in it. And we're not just talking about a building, we're talking about the kingdom of God. You will not have your part in it. Why do you think that there's more rejoicing in the presence of angels over one sinner that comes to repentance than over 99 just persons that have already become what they need to be? Why do you think there's more rejoicing over one sinner? I'll tell you why. It's because God knows what He can do with raw material. When I go through the redwood forest out on the west coast, I see big, beautiful trees that have been there for a long, long time. But there are other people who go through those areas and they see something else. Hallelujah. They see what can happen when the lumber from just one of these trees is placed in a proper machine. Amen. And with proper planning, how that it can be made into something beautiful that somebody will pay a high price for, that people will buy. When I go through Arkansas and I look at the pine trees, I just see trees and pine cones and pine needles. And I see the wind blowing those trees. But there are other people who drive up to some of those trees with a crew of men, and they have a truck out there, and they have saws, and they have everybody organized, and they're going to do something. And it doesn't look good to some of the people who love trees and want to preserve them, because they look at those trees as something we don't want to cut down. But some of these people have planned ahead, and those trees were planted for the purpose of being cut down. They were planted there because they were going to be cut and used, and then others would be replanted there. And this was planned years ago. But when I go there, I just see the beautiful trees. And some may not understand when they pull up there and they start cutting these trees down. It's killing the trees. It's a terrible thing they're doing to the trees. You don't have to understand everything that's going on in life. And it's going to happen whether you understand it or not. All my screaming and all my fussing and fighting over them cutting those trees will not change the fact that that has been planned, and those trees are going to be cut, those trees are going to be used, and they're going somewhere. All the debates and all the arguments and all the fussing and fuming you may come up with in your life will not change the fact that you need to give up everything and follow Jesus completely, with all your heart. And if you want to ask why, it may take years to answer. And you may not have enough years left to get all the answers. Ask your whys after you get in on it. It's a lot easier to share inside information with people on the inside. Glory to God. I don't share my secrets with just any old guy walking down the street. They look at me and they think I'm taking some kind of a new drug. And if I tell them what it is I'm on, they can't receive it. And so if I take the time to explain what it is I've got, then I got to stand out there on the street day after day after day after day trying to explain this, when really the answer is the door is open on Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday, and we explain it properly in a proper setting for whosoever will. Now, if they don't have enough initiative, enough desire to really know, to just open that door and walk down those steps and listen for a moment, they may never figure this out. Because all the explaining out there with somebody that's unwilling to be led will just lead to more and more questions, more and more confusion. I would not dare walk out there and say to some of them, as I said to some of you a week ago or so, I need $2,400 now to pay some bills. They'd say, well, man, I need just a dollar now. What are you talking about? They would not have the ability to receive why that would be important. Why this church would even need to be here if we got those expenses. In fact, some of them would say, hey, I don't even believe in church buildings. And God is the God, you know, of the outdoors. Look at Jesus. Didn't he walk around outside with no home? Why you people have a church building? And we hear all these remarks, and no amount of teaching for some people is going to change them. There are people out here that I meet, and I've been meeting them for years on the street, that have no initiative to do anything. If there wasn't a place where they could get free soup and a sandwich, if there wasn't somebody to give them a coat to wear in the wintertime and open up a door when the weather gets so cold and give them a free place to stay on the coldest nights in the winter, if they didn't have somebody out there to say, go this way, come here, here's some food for you, here are some clothes for you, if they didn't have that, they wouldn't last through the winter. They'd starve to death. They have no initiative. And that's like a lot of people when it comes to the Word of God. They have no initiative. They hear us, they see us. So what? Give me something. We can preach the truth and they're not going to hear it. All they want is another nickel. Feed me again. Give me something. And God doesn't hate those people. We don't hate them. In fact, we're instructed in the Word of God to preach this gospel to the poor. And there are some poor people out there that need to hear it. The Word of God can change that situation, but we don't need to get hung up on people who have no initiative and just spend all of our time out there answering their questions that they will not understand the answers when we give them. Let's give them the Word of God and move on. Plant a seed here and there and move on. 5 years from now, in some soup kitchen, maybe some nun will give them a little bit more water and move on. If they live long enough, maybe when they're sleeping under a bridge at the age of 80, somebody will slip a word to them, you need the Holy Ghost, here's water, why don't you get baptized in Jesus' name? Who knows what will happen? But we can't just get hung up on people that don't want to hear the Word of God or won't listen to it when they do hear it. But God loves them all. Not just everybody gets a job that wants one. A friend of mine had I learned a long time ago, you don't just do everything that everybody wants you to do. But a friend of mine was trying to learn where to draw these lines, and so a fellow came into town, and he said, I need a job. Well, this preacher friend of mine felt sorry for him. He had compassion on him. And he said, I'll tell you what I'll do. He said, I'll put you up in a motel tonight. And he said, there are plenty of people in this city that are hiring. And he said, the man convinced him, he said he really needed a job. And he said he would work, he needed a job. He put him up in a motel, made arrangements to pay the motel bill for the guy. And he had this friend on this company that was looking for somebody, for a man about his age that would work and would pay him a pretty good salary. So this preacher told this man, said, I think I can help you get a job and you can go to work tomorrow. And he said, I'll be by tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock and I'll pick you up and I'll take you to meet my friend who needs some workers. And he said, man, I appreciate that. So he left him at the motel. Next morning he went and knocked on the door at 8 o'clock and he knocked again and he knocked again and he knocked again. Finally the man came to the door trying to wake up. And he said, you need to get ready. He said, we need to go meet this friend that's thinking about giving you a job. He said, well, if you don't mind, I think I'll sleep in today. If he needs me, you tell him I'm available and I'll be glad to come to work tomorrow. You think you got the job? No. That's not the way you do it. And that's not the way you get into the kingdom of God. Jesus is here to help us. He's here to give us something better than anything we've ever known. Praise God. And all He wants us to do is surrender our will to Him. And that's it. Give up and let Jesus take over. And let Him know why you're doing what you're doing. And when you get to the point where you can understand a little bit, He'll share some information with you. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I don't mind saying words like there is no Trinity. When I say that, I know that I'm getting mixed reactions all over the world. I know that I'm not revealing truth to anybody when I say it. But I say it anyhow. Why do I say it anyhow? Well, for one thing, I have nothing to lose if the whole world turns against me for saying it. I have nothing to lose by telling the truth and exposing the lie of the triune three-person God that is taught all over the world. And out there, anybody that believes that lie has something to gain if they ever have an opportunity to look into the truth and question why is it being said there is no triune three-person God. I don't say it to make enemies. I don't say it to confuse religious-minded people. But I have no problem saying it at all. Why? Because sooner or later we get a report about how somebody got very angry. Very angry because they were serious about God. They were sincere about their relationship with God. They had spent years in trying to line up to the Word of God. And they were just like the lady on the telephone on the internet this morning. She got angry several times because we said several times, there is no triune three-person God. And if you want to be saved, you need to speak in tongues and get baptized in the name of Jesus. That wasn't what she wanted to hear. But she wanted to live for God. And while we were saying that to her and others, there were some gnashing their teeth and wanting to stone us to death. We didn't say that to hurt anybody. We don't say these things to hurt anybody. We don't say these things because we're some kind of a little clique over here that just, we feel like we're the only ones that are right and everybody else is wrong. But we say these things to grab attention sometimes. Because perhaps there is a sincere person out there really desiring to know God. They would fall on their face and say, I want to know for sure, God, what is truth? Amen. Wouldn't you want to save me if my Jesus name baptism and oneness of God belief was wrong and sending me to hell? My Trinitarian friend, wouldn't you want me to be saved? Why don't you come after me and teach me that there is a triune God and help me to go to heaven? Instead of rising up against us and telling everybody to stay away from us. If you love us enough to help us, teach us about God. I love you enough to help you to learn about God. I don't want you to go to hell. Do you want me to be lost? You want Sister Cindy to be lost? Then get to her with the truth that you've got if you know more than she knows. And convince her that her speaking in tongues did not come from God. And her Jesus name baptism was not in the Bible. But if you can't come up with something better than what she has to offer, maybe you need to listen to what she's got to say. Hallelujah! Because when it comes to the Trinity and the so-called salvation without the Holy Ghost, she's been there and done that. But you people that are fighting against this truth, have you been here and done this?
Hallelujah.
So how do you know so much? Why don't you just do your job? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. Forsake everything and follow Him with all you got. Even, you know, your mom and dad's not going to turn against you if you just join another church. You can keep everybody pretty much liking you. All your friends, I understand. If you don't like the First Baptist Church, go down to the Second Baptist Church. You can change from Catholic to Episcopal, no problem.
That's right, no problem.
Change over to the Lutheran faith if you want to. Anything you want to. But don't become Jesus' name. Because we don't understand that stuff. Those people are not in mainstream religion. They're doing something different. Those people, they're emotional. Have you ever wondered why these big cold churches with all these big programs are not emotional? Nothing to get emotional about. Who's going to get emotional over an ice cube? Cold ice. Only person I see get emotional over ice is Brother John Atkinson. He comes walking through here with bags of ice. I don't know what he uses them for. They always melt. Why couldn't he just go outside and freeze some water? But he knows what he's doing with them. He leaves here determined to get that ice, and he walks back with a big smile on his face, carrying it to the building. But most people don't get emotional over cold, rigid stuff.
Right.
Why don't these people get emotional in these churches? They say, well, because we're giving reverence to God. Well, my God said He wants us to make a joyful noise. How do you give reverence to God and not do that? He says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land. Come into His presence with thanksgiving. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Hallelujah. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. How do you do that in a program, in a quiet, dead congregation?
Hallelujah.
Now, there are businesses, there are sales conventions that you can go to. They will tell you to shout and scream and jump up and down until you feel it. They'll say, come on, act excited until you get excited. If you want to get excited, act excited. Well, that's not what we're doing here.
Hallelujah.
We're not acting excited until we get excited. We're getting excited And that's it. Because we have something to get excited about. Our clapping of the hands is not to cause people to clap hands. It's a response to something that's happening to us. People clap their hands when they're happy. People clap their hands when they're happy. If you win $1 million for some reason, somebody gives you $1 million, would it be in order to clap your hands? Or to say, woo!
Oh, yeah,
running
around.
Don't you dare do it in church. Somebody will turn against you for that. Unless you come to a church like this, and then everybody turned against you for that. Out there. But in here, you're among friends.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Because we've passed from death into life. We have found the one who makes plans way beyond anything we can comprehend. The master builder who knows where he's going. He says, follow me. So we give up everything to follow him. So now what do? We've lost everything. No. You've given up everything to follow him. And now you use all that stuff as tools to follow him with. So you got a lot of money when you give it all up to follow Jesus? Instead of spending it on gambling and harlots and drinking, you're going to spend it on the kingdom of God. And I guarantee you, the end result will be better. Hallelujah. It'll be better than drugs and illicit sex and all these other things that you would have spent it on. It's just a matter of giving it all to Jesus. And now he says, now I give you the proper desires. The desires of your heart will no longer be those things that would cause you harm and cause you trouble. And I will bless you and increase you. And all I ask you to do is your part along the way. Give 10%, the first of it, to the ministry, the work of God, and an offering. Don't rob the Lord. Oh, well, that's Old Testament scriptures, isn't it? Where do you see that in the New Testament? It comes from God. Right. If you can find it in the Old Testament, it'd be good to consider it may be something God likes. And whether he does it or not, I mean, whether he tells you to do it or not, most churches operate with tithes and offerings. Because it was a good principle in the Old Testament. I'm not here to talk about money, but I'm going to tell you, if you're holding back on it and you know this church operates with tithes and offerings and you're not paying them, that may be why you don't have the victory that you think you should have. Hallelujah. Of course, I'm not pointing that at anybody. I'm just saying if. Because we don't hardly ever say much about those things, but hey, if you're going to give God the first fruit of everything, why not do it?
Hallelujah.
Because, not only that, consider what you no longer have. If you gave everything up to follow Jesus, you don't have anything.
That's right.
So what he's saying is, give me all of what you got. But I tell you what I'll do. I'll take 10% of it and I'll let you spend the rest of it. Hallelujah. And it's a pretty good deal if you ask me. He gives you back 90% and keeps 10% of what's already his. Hallelujah. But he doesn't force it on you. And then you say, I'm giving you everything, Lord. He says, okay, I'll take 10% and you keep the rest and I'm going to bless that with even more. And you say, well, I don't want to do that. I can't afford it. Then don't expect to be blessed. Because you lied to God in the first place. You said, I'm giving it all up. And you won't give him any of it. Let's clap our hands to the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I'm giving up my parents, Lord, to follow you. They're against this religion. They think I'm in a cult. I give them up. And then you go to their house and they talk you into doing something you know you shouldn't do. And you wonder why you can't get blessed? You didn't give them up. You lied to God. And you come back to church and say, why can't I feel him anymore? You could if you want to. Give up your parents again. Give up their ideas. And what? Oh, it sounds like a cult. Yeah, it always sounds like a cult when you tell the truth. Jesus sounded like a cult when he said, hate your father if you want to follow me. That's what he's saying. I mean, our love and our obedience and our willingness to follow God has to be so strong it'll make everything else seem like nothing. Family relationships are not to be compared to a relationship with God. Except you're willing to give up every family tie and every tie to follow Him, you will not be part of the kingdom of God. Well, that sounds bad. That sounds harsh. That sounds cruel. No. It's very good, but you just don't understand it yet if you think like that. Very good. Because you're not walking away in hatred against anybody or anything. You're walking into the one that loves them more than you ever could. And you're finding wisdom and guidance from the lover of your soul and the lover of their soul to put them in His hands. And what you could never do for them to be able to enjoy eternal life, God can do with you as a witness. It can be done. If you love your family, serve God and give them up so perhaps you can save your family. Hallelujah. That's the wisdom of God if you got to know some more answers or why you got to do this. Why don't you just go out there and take your board and hammer your board and serve God anyhow? Go out there and saw your log and serve God anyhow. Until you get all these details along the way. My Lord, if God had told me all I'm going to go through to get to where I am, I think I'd have sat down and thought about it a while. He didn't tell me I was going to get beat up and some guys were going to try to kill me up in Canada. When I got down that altar and I got down on my knees, and I said, Lord, I'll give you anything. I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything. I'm not scared to go anywhere for you, Lord. I'll be anything you want me to be. Anywhere at any time. He said, okay. A few years later, go to Canada. I said, sure, Lord. I went. Never had pastored church before. Hey, but I got God, so what's wrong with going to Canada? Canada's like any other place. No, it ain't. Not that part of Canada. That's where all the draft dodgers went. That's where all the criminals went when they got away. That's where all the escapees went. That's where all the rednecks and hoodlums hang out. That's where I was. That's where people just kill people and walk away and they never get caught. They push them off of cliffs and they're still there hanging out as if it's okay to live like that because it's almost a lawless territory. And if you try to have church or something, the law even is against you. That's where I was. Glad to do anything. And it's fun as long as things are going smooth. But I'm going to tell you, when you're looking at a gun barrel facing at your face, and, you know, looking at you right in the eye, looking back at you, and a guy with his finger on the trigger that hates you. And I did face that while I was in Canada. You think about it. And if God had told me back when I was a teenager on my knees seeking for a closer relationship with God, or when I was on my face in that Sunday school room later answering to the call of God in my life, if He'd told me I'm going to face a loaded gun with a mean man on the other end of it pointing it right at my face along the way, and if He'd told me that and didn't tell me how it's going to end up, I might have had a heart attack. Or if He told me all these thugs are going to gather around me and beat me up and throw me on the floor and stomp on me and jump up and down on me and kick me around, put me under a table, and just left the story there, just left it hanging there. Yeah, I might have said, Lord, is that You talking to me? Or if he said I was going to go to Norwich, Connecticut and try to start a church in a home with some disgruntled saints out of another church, and they're going to rise up against me after I get started. And if He'd told me all that, I might have had second thoughts about coming to Norwich. I had enough people tell me, hey, you go up there and backslide. That's a preacher's graveyard. Nobody can live for God in New England. That's what they told me. I had people telling me that on the way up here. You'll never make it in New England. Preacher's graveyard. Yeah. After I got here and after I've been here all these years, I see what they were talking about. I see why some can't make it. We've had a lot of them come and go. I mean, we've seen people all over New England, Massachusetts, and all over come up here to start churches and go back with their heads down saying, I'm sorry, I just can't do it. But you know what? When God calls somebody to do something, He gives them the proper equipment. And the proper equipment in this case is the call and the will of God. Because I'm certainly not one that can do what we're doing, but God is.
Amen.
He knows where He's going with these black folding chairs with painted gold that sat out in the rain for 2 or 3 days after they got painted and the paint wouldn't dry. He knows where we're going with all these spotted chairs and torn spots that the kids keep tearing and making bigger. He knows where we're going with these wires that keep getting broken as we step on them. We have to go out and find new wires, and we can't afford it. We have to make them work anyhow. He knows where we're going with all this. He knows where we're going with these cameras, and we're trying to do a multi-million dollar media ministry when we need multi-million dollars to do that, and we're doing it with cheap cameras bought from Sears. He knows where we're going. And I have no complaints, but I want to promise you, if God would share and reveal to you inside information known by only God and His angels right now concerning from here to just a few years from now, some of you be shaking in your boots. We've got to go through that. But all He wants to tell us, hey, forsake everything and follow Me.
Right.
If He'd have told Peter all the things he was going to face, you're going to be in a storm and a raging sea, and you're going to see a spirit walking on the water, and you're going to be invited to walk on the waves of that storm. He wasn't ready for that when he first was called to come and follow the Lord. But he was ready to take that next step. Come and follow Me. And when he took that step to follow Jesus, all the details unfolded because God knows where He's going. He knows where He's going. Praise God. I'm closing. My Lord, I didn't know it was afternoon. Let's stand. I'm closing. I meant to go 10 minutes this time. I got this preacher fever, I guess. Hallelujah. He knows where He's going. There have been many times when I've gone into the music store and I bought a package of music manuscript paper, certain types of pens that are easy to write with and they have good black ink in them, manuscript paper and a straight edge. And I get this stack of paper and I get extra amounts of it. And I've had music store dealers say, "What are you going to do with all this?" And it's hard to explain to them. Because usually it's somebody there that is just there working at a job, taking the money, putting it in the cash register, selling products. They're used to people coming in and buying a little bit of manuscript paper because they're music lessons. But they're not used to somebody coming in buying all their manuscript paper. So what are you going to do with all this? Well, I'm working on this composition, and I already know where I'm going with it. But when I get to explain it to them, they look at me with a blank stare, like they wish they hadn't even asked. They don't comprehend. But when I'm sitting up late at night, or I'm talking years ago, what I would do, sitting up late at night at a kitchen table with pen in hand, straight edge, and a little bit of light, and just writing hour after hour after hour, week after week after week, and year after year after year, till I finally get all this just like I want it. And I'm hearing these sounds in my mind over and over. And when I don't like what I hear, I change it and adjust it, because when you're the Creator, you can make things be like you want them to be, when you know how to do it. And when I had learned how to manipulate all this and change it to be what I wanted it to be, I saw myself as created in the image of God. I didn't see myself as God, but I saw a parallel. If a composer can do that to the music, how much more can God make things work? Because He's the Creator of all of us. And I'm not saying God changes His mind, but if things are a little out of tune, He can fix it so it plays good. That's what He uses His mercy for. And His forgiveness for. And His compassion. And His patience. And His loving kindness. When we get all messed up and He doesn't like the music that's coming from us, He gives us an opportunity with His big eraser, through the blood of Jesus, to adjust this and make it get right. So it'll be pleasing to the Creator of all things. All I had to do with that manuscript paper, I learned years ago to write these original manuscripts at first with lead and use a big eraser. Many times I spent as much time erasing as I did writing. Hallelujah. And you erase enough and you rewrite it and you erase it and you write it and you change it and you write it. And you finally get it just like you want it. And back then we didn't have computers. We didn't have all these things that we have now. Had to do it all with a pen. You get it just like you want it. Then you take the finished product that is something that you erased over and over and fixed it over and over and over. Then you take the ink and you make it a permanent thing that can be passed out so everybody can look upon it and make the music that never has been heard by anyone except the one that created it. And even He didn't hear it except in mind and in thought. When God spoke the world into existence, He heard all of us praising Him. He saw all of us serving Him. From the foundation of the world, a lamb was slain. He knew where He was going. Hallelujah. And today, when we mess up, He has a big eraser. One of these days, the finished product will be saying, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Hosanna to the King forever and ever, Thou that was and is the Almighty forever, holy, 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 holy! Let's all come around the front and worship God together today. He's good. Hallelujah. Do you want to be in that number? If you do, let God do the planning and you do the working. Let God be the boss and you be the one that serves Him and follows Him. Let God be the shepherd, you be the sheep. Let God know the answers. And when you have questions, if you don't get the answer you want, serve Him anyhow. Do your job. Repent of those sins and follow Jesus. Let's praise Him together. He's worthy of praise. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you had absolute trust and faith in me this morning, and you knew that what I say, what I'm about to say, is absolutely true, it will come to pass, and nothing can stop it. And if I'd walk around and say, Brother Bradley, you're going to die with a heart attack in 3 weeks. Sister Judy, you're going to die with cancer next month. Brother Mike, you're going to fall over tomorrow with a heart attack. Brother Philip, you're not going to make it. You're going to die today in a car wreck and go to hell. Sister Lynn, you're going to die lost. You have no chance. Forget it. Sister Tanya, you're dying right now and you're not going to be at church again. Bye. Sister Carolyn, I'm sorry, but you're going to lose your husband in a fatal accident today. Now, if you believed all that with all your heart, would you be sad? Would you think about that for a moment? Let me tell you something. God has your number. He knows how you're going to die. He knows the accident you're going to come across. He knows what's going to happen to you. He knows right now whether you're going to make the right decisions to either serve Him or not. And He could come right through this audience right now, if He would, and tell you exactly what your destiny is. And some of you might die early when you hear it. But even though God knows all of this, you can even change the course of your destiny right now. Because God has provisions for that. Even though He knows the end from the beginning, He also has predestined a church, spotless and clean. And many examples in the Word of God where He would say to His people, I will destroy you. I'm going to tear you up. I'm going to destroy you. And many times He did. But He came back with, but if you'll turn from your wicked ways, I'll forgive you. I'll restore you. I'll bring you back. Let me tell you something. If I had gone to the audience and what I had just said to a few of you, and I'd have gone to every one of you, and I told you of certainty this is going to happen in your life, and I know it for a fact right now, if I had that ability, which I don't, and God does, if I had said that with no provisions to change it, we would leave today with some very sad faces. Hallelujah. But God sees what's about to happen to us all. He has the ability to change it. Hallelujah. So you may be about to face cancer, but you serve Him with all your heart, give up everything that's meaningful in life, give it all to God, and the cancer won't happen. Or if it does, He can take it away. Or if He don't and you die, you will go to heaven. So you're going to make things, you're going to meet with an accident and you're going to die tomorrow. But you give it all to God now, and God looks at you. It's not that God is trying to manipulate your life, but you made a change. You went from a direction that would take you down that road where that head-on collision would be. But now you're walking on a road with the King of Kings, and you got God leading you along the way. And just at the time it would happen, He'd say, "Hey, I'm not ready for you to go. I got work for you to do. Turn this way. Go that way." And you don't realize it, but the King of Kings is helping you to change your destiny. Because He has the power to see what's going to happen. And He has the power to keep it from happening. Let's thank Him. He's our King. He knows how to plan ahead. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. King of Kings, Lord of Lords, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your holy name, blessed be your holy name.